I'm Chief Cheryl Victorian. This is Waco PD on the beat. Whether it's crime or just getting to know the Waco Police Department, we're here to talk about things that matter most to you.
Hello, Waco, and welcome to Waco PD on the beat. I'm Sierra Shipley, the Public Information Officer for the Waco Police Department.
And I'm Janae Draper with the Neighborhood Engagement Team.
Thanks for joining us today. Disclaimer, I'm hoping she's going to be tired enough, but there is a little puppy in the vicinity.
Tilly Beans.
So I'm hoping she'll just go stay quiet. But if you hear a bark every now and then, I apologize. but we have, that's not our special guest today.
That's not our special guest, although we might have to do one with that special guest
one day. One day. No, now we've got Detective Jason Beal here with us. He is in our burglary and auto theft unit. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because there's so many. First of all, so many units. Mm-hmm. Second of all, there's a difference between auto theft and a BMV.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
The more you know.
Exactly. But first, before we get into any of that, let's talk about a little bit about you, what you do, and kind of your length of service here at the Waco PD.
Yeah. Yeah, Jason Beal. We've been in law enforcement about 25 years. I'm not as cute as the puppy.
She's pretty cute.
So I started off in patrol, worked my way up through patrol, and then went into SWAT and eventually became a detective. And that's where I'm at now, is burglary auto theft.
Nice. And did you work at a police agency before this? Or?
Yeah, I was at Garland Police Department up in the Metroplex. That's where I started off.
Nice. All right. I was going to say big city to small city. I mean, it was in the Metroplex, but I guess
it was Garland. Around the same size at the time.
Okay.
Now I think it's changed. But.
Very nice. And did you work auto thefts and burglaries there as well, or
just as a beat officer? Just not as a detective.
Okay, very nice, very cool.
How many years you doing Garland?
Around two.
Yeah. And then
okay,
came to the greater Waco.
That's right, here we go for Waco. Oh my goodness,
we're having too much fun here.
Okay, so explain the invest, because I know it like is kind of self-explanatory, but then again, people don't realize there's a difference between your car being stolen and then your car being broken into, you know?
Yeah.
So explain the differences of that and the cases that you work.
Yeah, so we do burglary auto theft. So burglary of a home, burglary of a business, burglary of coin vending machines. And that's where someone physically enters that structure that I just mentioned and takes something that doesn't belong to them. The auto theft obviously is your vehicle being stolen from you, whether it was hotwired or whether you left your keys in the car and they stole it.
Yeah. And so, okay, you kind of said it, because the next question was difference between burglary and a theft, because we get confused all the time on those. Mm-hmm. But the reason why, you know, we wanted to do this podcast is because, we definitely have seen an increase in auto thefts and even, you know, BMVs as well. Right. But I want to talk about, you know, of course, let people know kind of why this increase is happening and obviously also show the work that you guys have been doing and the unit has been doing, because I know you guys have identified, you know, numerous different individuals and have been able to, you know, apprehend them. But of course, you know, auto thefts still happen, but I just wanted to, you know, like I said, shine some light on the work that y'all been doing, but also let the community know that this is something y'all got to watch out for always. Mm-hmm. So what crime did you guys start seeing an increase in kind of the like end of the year and going into 2024?
Yeah, so probably August, September of 2023, we started seeing a sharp increase of auto thefts, particularly in high density areas such as hotel parking lots, apartment complexes, anywhere there was a lot of vehicles, parking garages, a lot of vehicles in a tight spot. Criminals are lazy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so wherever they can get the most amount of vehicles, like fishing, you're going to go to where all the fish are. So the same concept. They were hitting those areas. Most of the vehicles that were being And it was an increase in burglary of motor vehicles and auto thefts. And so what happened was they were just going around checking door handles. If they found one that was open, they went into it. If somebody, if they found keys in the car, they stole it. It was really that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was also an increase of certain types of vehicles being stolen. I won't go into details on that, but yeah, that, and it was all from social media.
Right, right. Stuff, I was going to say just trends that just follow. And we kind of noticed too, like when it comes to social media trends, we usually see them in other, it takes a while to get to Waco sometimes, I feel like. And so it's kind of one of those things that I feel like being in Waco, we're kind of lucky in the sense because we get to see these trends happen elsewhere. And then once they get to Waco, it's like, oh, well, we were ready and expecting this. Is that kind of like how you guys feel?
Absolutely. We started seeing, we started hearing about this happening in Houston, Dallas, probably a year before it kind of hit Waco. Kind of a related thing is bank jugging. I don't know if you're familiar with the bank jugging, but for the listeners, that is you go to the bank, you take money out. There are thieves just watching you come out with your bank bag. They follow you from the bank to your next stop, and if you don't get out with that bank bag, they're going to break your window and they're going to steal the money you left behind. Mm-hmm. And in that trend, we saw that in Houston and heard about it in New York and stuff like that probably about a year before it started happening here. And it just kind of hit with a vengeance all at one time. So that's something to keep just be aware of your surroundings, first of all.
Absolutely. That's probably, too, why, like, I mean, I know a lot of people probably hear the take, lock, hide, but there's a reason that we harp on that so much because, like you said, in these high-density populated areas, what these criminals are looking for is just opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And so an opportunity where you leave valuables right there where they can see it,
mm-hmm.
or, like you said, you leave your car unlocked. And some of us may not do it intentionally. You know, we probably just don't think about it.
Yeah, busy day, there's plenty of times where I have legitimately got out of my car and it's still, it's parked, but like I forgot to turn my car off. And I get out of my car and I go,
has that been why you're pregnant? Because you've had running. Some pregnancy brain lately. But, but yeah, but I mean, that we harp on that stuff and it kind of gets redundant. But I mean, we do that for a reason because I'm sure like these trends are all, you know, not saying that every single one is preventable, but this increase could be, you know, not an increase had, you know, just basic kind of simple things that we sometimes just forget to think about because it's so simple, just following those.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about it before. It's called a crime of opportunity.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily something, I mean, the bank jugging is a little more methodical, but as far as like, yeah, the auto thefts and the BMVs, it's one of those things where it's not necessarily a targeted instance. It's just the criminal sees the opportunity that the car door's unlocked because they're going around just testing the handles. Yeah. And, oh, look, they found one. And, oh, look what's inside, you know.
Yeah, and that's really what it is. And a lot of the BMVs that we're finding, not really anything is being stolen, but the victims are coming out to their car and saying, hey, my glove box was rummaged through. All my paperwork is everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have anything stolen, but that's what they're doing is – suspects are digging through.
Right. Like the car it doesn't matter if you hide it, right? Yeah. I mean it can be beneficial, maybe, you know, somewhat of a deterrent to hide it, but also if you lock your car.
Correct.
Cuz if you don't lock your car, cuz that's another thing too I feel like is criminals aren't necessarily that they want to get in and out, right? So we don't see, and maybe you can correct me, but I feel like we don't see a whole lot of like cars that are like smashed windows and things like that.
So on particular kinds of cars being stolen, we're seeing a lot of that.
Yeah.
And then that's more because
but that's
the
like
vehicle
the auto
is
thefts.
Easy being stolen, correct? Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the car burglary, usually it's when they leave something valuable in the car that the suspect can see. That's when they'll break the window. They may lock the door, but if I can see in a gun that's sitting in the front seat that the victim didn't take inside with him, they'll break the window to get that.
Sure. But, yeah, other than that, they're going to try the car handle first.
Yes.
And then, I would say, almost 8 times out of 10, it's unlocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked a little about why those auto thefts have increased. Were you guys expecting it? You know, kind of going back to, like, okay, we see these trends happening. When it did come to Waco and it kind of hit us you know, pretty fast. Is it something that you guys, like, how do you prepare for something like that as a detective? Or is it just kind of like, well, we just got to sit and wait?
Well, a little of both. Diane Novak, she is one of our Facebook.
We could talk about that, too.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. I don't know what her official title with the Facebook is, but she would post.
Moderator.
Yeah, post, hey, it's 9 o'clock, make sure your doors are locked, mm-hmm. That type of thing. So that was kind of in preparation for trends such as this.
Yeah.
You know, take your valuables inside, don't leave them in the car, that type of thing. So that was the proactive part of it.
Sure.
And then the reactive is just, once we start getting cases in, you know, just trying to identify who the suspects are and going from there.
Right. How hard is it sometimes? Like, explain the investigation process as generic as you possibly can, because I know every case is different, but how hard or how easy is it to identify individuals that do commit a BMV or an auto theft? Because I feel like it would be harder maybe the one or two offs that they might do, but if it's more consistent, maybe it's a little bit easier. But explain a little bit of that.
Yeah, so it's actually a little bit of both. There are some suspects in Waco where just by the way they commit the crime, we already know who it is, just because we've dealt with them in the past. They did the same thing.
Is it like they say on TV shows, it's like their MO?
Yes, absolutely.
There you go.
And, There's several people in Waco. As soon as it happens, we're like, hey, this sounds like so-and-so, and most of the time we're right on that.
Yeah, how hard or easy it is to identify the offenders.
Yes.
And just explaining kind of like a generic investigation.
Yeah, so in a lot of these investigations that we were working, seeing the increase at towards the end of the year and the beginning of this year, in one night we would have 8 to 20 burglaries in a specific area. Could be in one apartment complex. And so we would start looking for video. We would start seeing what suspects we knew commit those kind of crimes, seeing are these people still in jail? We put them in jail 3 months ago. Are they still in jail? Have they gotten out? And then looking for video surveillance footage. Our crime scene techs are amazing with getting fingerprints or comparing fingerprints. We have some really good officers that are fantastic at lifting fingerprints, and then our crime scene techs are able to compare them. So we've solved a lot of crimes with fingerprints. And it really starts with the first line beat officer making a good report, dusting for the fingerprints, collecting the video. And once it gets to us, it's just a matter of piecing it all together and seeing what other offenses occurred that night. Mm-hmm. And so I showed you a piece of paper earlier, And a lot of that was by dates and locations. So one apartment complex might have 6 burglaries. The next apartment complex over might have 8 that same night, and then so on. And it's almost just tracking
the movements.
Burglaries down the street.
And so, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, it's kind of like you said before, because it's not necessarily like, you know, we don't want to get people who live in apartment complexes scared, but it's like, it's those areas where you're going to see a lot of cars and like parking garages, apartment complexes, busy shopping centers, things
correct.
Like that.
Duplexes, okay. High density housing.
Okay. Okay.
But that's probably why it's important if you live in those type of locations or whatnot, to kind of pay attention to your surroundings. Mm-hmm. If you see someone kind of just aimlessly walking around, you know, there's nothing wrong with calling us and, you know, having us go check it out, because again, they may be down there checking handles. They could just be walking, but we can go out and kind of just talk to them, kind of identify it. And if it turns out that there's maybe like 6 BMVs and someone just got a description of like, I don't know who it is, but he was wearing a red shirt. Well, officers went out early on a guy in a red shirt, kind of putting that together. Does that help whenever
absolutely.
People do that?
And that's really a best case scenario, other than the officer actually catching the suspect in the act. But yeah, as far as identifying our potential suspects, for sure. Yeah. You know, and going along with that, I had a field training officer when I was a baby cop starting off in Garland. He said, look for weird stuff. And that's something that can apply to citizens. Just look for weird stuff. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Yeah.
If you see somebody walking around cars that you know don't belong to him at 3 o'clock in the morning, let's call the police and check it out. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Even that sixth sense that someone might get, it's like maybe just something doesn't, you can't figure it out.
It never hurts something for us to make any type of contact.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. And that was something I was going to even mention too, is I feel like with BMVs and auto thefts, because we always say, you know, the quicker you call us on a crime, the quicker we can start the investigation, the easier it is to solve. But with stuff like this, people don't know until hours later.
Yeah.
How important is it when someone, like as soon as they notice, maybe they're like, you know, they're walking up to their car and they see, you know, their papers and glove box and stuff rummage through. Like, how important is it for them to just stop immediately and don't go, like, looking for stuff in it to see what's been stolen, but to just wait for the police to come?
Yeah, absolutely, because once you start digging through that car, you're obtaining fingerprints. We've collected a DNA that helped in solving shootings in the past, but we solved that through DNA from a car burglary. It's just stop what you're doing, call the police. After the police does for fingerprints, get your basic information, then they'll say, hey, you know, dig through it, see what you can find that's missing.
Yeah. And I know that might be inconvenient for some going to work or whatnot in the morning, but when you think about long term, the probability of catching this person goes down when you start, like you said, kind of messing with the evidence, because there could be DNA, there could be fingerprints, and you're kind of
Right. And I think that's people's first sense too, because I was going to ask what people can do, you know, as far as helping the investigation out. And that definitely would be one thing, is to, you know, not contaminate the scene. But I'm sure it's so hard, and it's so hard to even for a citizen to think that way. Because of course they see their car open and unlocked and stuff everywhere there. I mean, they're going to go through it as quick, you know,
anyone would want to.
That's the instinct. Is there anything else that they can do or anything else that would help you guys in the investigation that the public can help with?
You know, something that I didn't do until I became a burglary auto theft detective was write my serial numbers down on my items. So when I buy, let's say, a laptop computer, I take the serial number and I write it on the owner's manual with the date I bought it. One, that helps with insurance if I ever have to file a claim later, and the registration and all that stuff, you know, the warranty information. But if it ever gets stolen, then I go to my little accordion folder that I have, I open it up, pull that out, and I'm able to provide the serial number, how much I paid for it.
And anybody listener or any listeners we got, if you contact your net unit, we actually have a pamphlet that we got.
It's like a booklet.
It's like a booklet where it's specific to where all those serial numbers can go for all the stuff that you buy.
Great.
And it's kind of sectioned into different areas, whether it be your car, kind of electronics and or weapons or something like that. But you can put all that information there to help in case you ever find yourself in this instance. So if you need one of those, of course, reach out to us. And I know we've got a lot of them that we ordered specifically for that reason.
That's a good point, especially for like aftermarket speakers and aftermarket stereos. Write that serial number down.
Because isn't that how y'all track it, too, if it gets pawned or something, is based on a serial
number? Yes, we're able to check the pawn shops and see what's been pawned and who's pawned it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, dang, write your serial number. I mean, it's a bit of homework, but it's good homework.
Yeah, but if you do it as you're buying it, it's really not that big a deal,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. But like you said, too, I mean, if let's say there's a house fire or something, and you have that with all your serial numbers for insurance claims and everything like that, so it comes in handy for just more than like police related stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. How has the, you know, can we talk about like the success rate as far as like identifying the offenders and being able to make arrests?
I don't have a number,
but
per se, but normally when we catch a burglar or an auto thief, we've solved 5 to 20, 30 crimes by catching that one person. We talked about the increase we saw at the beginning of this year. That was in January. Towards the middle of February, we started catching a group of juveniles, and since then, the majority of those car burglaries and auto thefts have stopped.
Okay.
So we know, and then we were able to go back and piece together, okay, we know this suspect was over here during this time mm-hmm. just by surveillance footage, now that we know who they are. Mm-hmm. So we know they're good for that burglary as well. So after we start catching them, we're able to go back and see, okay, we've solved this crime and this crime. And one of these papers that I showed you at the beginning of the podcast, I mean, it's probably 50 cases on it that were committed by two individuals.
Wow.
So catching them, our success rate, I guess, is determined after the fact, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how many of you guys are in the burglary and auto theft unit?
When I went to burglary auto theft, we had 10 detectives. Now we're down to 5.
Oh, wow. I was going to say half. So, I was going to say, so because yeah. then I was going to ask, like, how many do, like, of BMV's auto theft cases do you guys have? Or do you know how many cases you got
not for the entire year.
You're afraid to count.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. From 10 to 5.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, just from a retirements and everything else. So, so we work. A lot of the detective units just get assigned a case, and it's, I don't know that there's any rhyme or reason to it. I'm sure there is, but in burglary auto theft, we go by beats, just like a beat officer does. And so, I work the majority of South Waco. So really the Baylor area and the downtown area, like 4th and Austin, mm-hmm. that's the only part of South
you're
Waco.
You're getting a lot of these cases then.
It's about the only part of South Waco I don't work. Yeah. The rest of South Waco is pretty much mine.
How long before, I don't know if we can talk about this, so you might even include this in the time frame, but how long before, at least let's say an event happens or like a BMV happens, will it take you to get in contact? Because I know some people think it's going to be right away, and it's not right away. Y'all have some time that y'all have to do before.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a time frame. Doesn't mean like, hey, I didn't get your case, but or it may take some time to actually come to you. So I was going to maybe
so
you could talk
once
about that.
We have an automated system now that once the sergeant assigns the case to us, it automatically notifies the victim. Mm-hmm. But there are times we get so many cases, I don't have time to call each victim. And yeah. I try to, especially if there's something that I know might lead to further the investigation.
Yeah.
So if the officer didn't take a serial number and it's a laptop, I'll call the victim, hey, do we have a serial number for that laptop? Mm-hmm. Sometimes by reading the report, you can tell the victim may think they know who the suspect is, and so I'll follow up with them. Just because you think they know who it is doesn't mean you can't tell me. Doesn't mean I'm going to go arrest them on the spot because you think it. Right, I'm still going to do some investigative legwork on it.
Yeah.
That name may lead me to the suspect, yeah. right? So,
and just like you said, I mean, y'all have 5 to cover the entire city of Waco, and then just like you said, there's not usually just one. Someone just doesn't try like or break into one car,
correct?
Right. So there's probably multiple vehicles that are that have been broken into or some sort of criminal offense has happened. So you've got a lot of work mm-hmm. on your plate, and so it might take some time to get to it, but just knowing that, hey, just because he hasn't gotten to me right away, I still know that they're working. Mm-hmm. So
yes, we do work every single case that comes in, and it may not pan out if there's no evidence, no fingerprints, no. It's really not a lot for me to go on, right? Mm-hmm. But like I talked about earlier, we keep that case in mind because 3 weeks from now we might catch a guy in the same area at the same time. And when we start investigating it, we're able to go back to previous cases and be able to tie them into it.
Okay.
Yeah. And so not only talking about, how it is to, or how you guys identify these suspects, but going back to the items that are stolen mm-hmm. inside the car and the car itself, how often do you guys find a car or even the items that are stolen?
Pretty often.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's either we're finding the vehicles or patrol is, rather. I mean, patrol probably finds more of our stolen vehicles than we find. As far as the property, we we find quite a bit. But it also helps if the property we usually find is when the victims have a serial number, they have a really good description of it. Even so, let's say you don't have a serial number on the property. If you can come back and tell the officer that's taking the report, yeah, I don't have the serial number, but I had this wire that was dangling off, so I changed the wire on it, so it's got these weird wires that don't really fit. Well, that helps me in the back end, right? Because if I go to a pawn shop and see a weed eater's got weird wires hanging on it, it's matching it, well, yeah. That helps me, right?
Okay. I was going to say, that was one of my favorite things to do when I was in patrol, was look for stolen cars. I don't know. Everybody has, like, their thing that they mm-hmm. enjoyed. And yeah. I love just pulling up clear and
it's like kind of like Where's Waldo?
Whatever was stolen. Like, drugs were never my thing. ATSs, but stolen cars, man. Loved
okay.
it.
Yeah. Okay. So. I mean, that's kind of got to be exciting, though, because I'm sure a lot of times, like, do the stolen vehicles, I mean, they're probably, like, in one of those, it's just like a traffic stop, or it's like, oh, this car's, you know, probably is parked where it shouldn't be, and it's just something mm-hmm. where, like, y'all run it, and then it just comes up as stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, I would feel like that would be kind of like a fun game for you guys to be like, ooh.
So we're actually hoping in the past we've had license plate readers. Mm-hmm. That the technology we had, I think, kind of went out. We're hoping to get that in the future for the PD. We're hoping that's something that's in future line item budgets.
Yeah.
But that
was brought up. That and, like, the cameras were brought up probably the beginning of 2022? Yeah. 2022, I feel like something yeah. or other, but we haven't. It just was in the talks.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so we're hoping that comes back because there's a sharp increase of recovered stolen vehicles with those cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay, and I mean the more we can recover, obviously too, like that's mm-hmm. even better for the victims because I'm sure a lot of times they think that. They're, you know, are you ever going to find my car?
Yeah. And
or how hopeful they are. And
there have been numerous occasions we've located the stolen vehicle before the victim even knows it's stolen. Whereas there are times where the vehicle's never been recovered. So I don't think there's a rhyme or reason to it. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. How many times do y'all get calls from, like, maybe detectives from other agencies where these cars mm-hmm. are being stolen, maybe in Waco? And they're finding one another agency, or vice versa.
No, that happens all. That's about a weekly occurrence. Okay. We work very well with neighboring detective units: Robinson, Woodway, Belmead, Lacey Lakeview County, mm-hmm. Temple, Killeen. So we're constantly calling each other. We're finding this trend where our vehicles are ending up in your city, or they'll call us. Hey, y'all got our vehicles and. Start comparing notes and cases and try to develop a suspect through that.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, before we get out of here, anything else that you want to talk about? Something that we haven't discussed or so that you talked about, too, are you guys starting to kind of see, you just touched on it just a little bit, are you starting to see somewhat of a decline now, or is it?
Yeah, there's
is
been
it leveling out?
No, there's been a sharp decline in vehicle burglaries and stolen vehicles here recently. Like I said, we've put several groups in jail recently. They haven't gotten out yet, and we're starting to actually catch up on some older cases because we're not working as many new cases.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
a lot of hours y'all put into that. I'm
we
sure.
Have, yeah.
Goodness.
And patrol has, our patrol officers have done a really good job recently.
I mean, it's a group effort, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, everybody.
Everyone's got to take part.
It takes,
in
the patrol doing the grunt work on the street, y'all doing the legwork behind, and then just the education piece and kind of mm-hmm. helping the public, and then helping let the public know, like, hey, you can help us
mm-hmm.
As well. So it's a group effort, I think, all across the board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. But yes, anything else that you want to touch on? Because there's something I want to close out on. I just want to make sure that you got all your stuff. All your thoughts.
You're
going to
close on how cute this puppy looks right here, passed out. She's passed out right now, so she's looking real cute.
No, you touched on it in the beginning, and I put a pin in it because I thought it would be a good ending point. But the Waco Police Department Criminal Investigations Division Facebook page.
Yes.
That's a Facebook page that is run by a few of our detectives in our criminal investigation division, which is made up of a whole bunch of different units that we've talked about on this podcast. Burglary and auto theft, theft and miscellaneous,
assault financial crimes,
family violence. And they are, it's a bit different from our main Waco PD page, because if we filled our main Waco PD page with all the stuff that they put on there, everything would be lost in translation. But, you guys post a lot of like looking for this individual. If you know so-and-so, correct, contact one of, you know, whatever detective is assigned to the case.
Yeah.
So how helpful is that Facebook page for
y'all? Very helpful. We've solved a lot of cases, through that Facebook page, and, we normally link Crime Stoppers with it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times we'll get a message from Crime Stoppers. Hey, I saw the picture on Facebook page, and it is so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And obviously we still have to do our legwork and confirm that. I've had in the past, hey, that's my ex-boyfriend. And then I pull it up, and it doesn't look anything like her ex-boyfriend, right? But yeah, we've solved a lot of cases that way.
Like that. Yeah, so I would say if you guys, you know, if you're on Facebook, Waco Police Department Criminal Investigations Division, you guys post like multiple times a day. I was going to say, correct, like it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys want to keep up with that, I would definitely recommend going on that page, and of course, cuz y'all you can kind of see too, like, you know, wanted for a theft or wanted for, burglary. I mean, you can kind of see the trends that are happening just through that page. And so you guys can be, you know, the community can be on the lookout for, okay, well, I know that, you know, I'm seeing because they're posting about it. So maybe I need to watch out for this and that and just.
Yeah. Something that did just come to my mind. Be vigilant of your surroundings. Don't leave valuables in plain view. Lock your car doors. And there are certain types of vehicles that are stolen more frequently than others. You can Google search that to see if you own one of those vehicles. And you can take measures. There's very cheap, efficient ways to secure your vehicle and secure your belongings. And so I recommend everybody do that. And make friends with your neighbors, right? Get to know your neighbor. Don't just come home and stay inside. You don't know who your neighbor is or anything like that. Get to talking to them, and y'all look out for each other. And let them know, hey, once you become friends with them, let them know, hey, you know, we're going to be out this night. We're coming back tomorrow. Can you watch the place for us, type of thing? And y'all just take care of each other.
Yeah, absolutely. My neighbor, the other day I got home, and it was probably about almost 8 o'clock at night, and their car door completely wide open, and I'm like, and the light in the car's off, and everything's off, so I'm like, okay, had to have been over for a while. I'm like, man, it's 8 o'clock, it's kind of late, and I was like, nah, I gotta go ring their doorbell and tell them their car door's open.
But stuff there like you are, that, you know, no one intentionally probably leaves stuff open, or even sometimes you may not just remember to lock your car. Maybe in a rush or something like that. But, you know, looking out for each other, just going back and double checking. I know sometimes I forget to lock my truck, so I'll, like, walk out just so I can, like, hear the beep. But even then, like, my tailgate doesn't lock with my hand locks or my key lock, so I have to go and, like, manually lock it. But just little stuff. I know sometimes it's inconvenience, but at the end of the day, that's how we help keep our community safe and kind of keep these numbers down.
It's
going
to save you more work and time on the back end, too. Because if something of yours does get stolen, I mean, that's that
Unlike that, catalytic converters, we won't go there.
Unlike catalytic converters, still a sore
still
topic.
A sore subject. Oh, it still hurts to this day.
That's a different unit, thankfully. Yeah. Aren't you glad you don't have catalytic converters?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You'll take auto thefts any day, right? Oh my goodness. Well, thank you, Detective Beal. We appreciate you being on here.
Yeah, thanks absolutely. For having me.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all listening to Waco PD on the Beat. Take Lock Hyde.
Take Lock Hyde. There's a reason why we emphasize it a lot.
That's right. Well, you guys have a good day. I'm Sierra Shipley, the Public Information Officer.
And I'm Officer Janae Draper with the Neighborhood Engagement Team.
Have a great day, Waco.
Waco PD on the Beat. The heartbeat serving